Good morning. Today's Abba Baba Basra is Kuf Mem. We start today the ninth parak of Baba Basra. More on the topic of Yerusha. The eighth parak basically got us grounded in terms of what the basic halachas of Yerusha is. It's a long parak, admittedly, but it is a comprehensive overview in terms of the basic halachas regarding how estates are passed from generation to generation. And now, in our ninth parak, we continue the discussion of Yerusha, but with a little bit more specifics and some institutions, some takanas that were made by the Chachamim. So we start with our Mishnah. Mishnah is right in the middle of Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Misha meis v'iniach banim abanos. So a person dies and he leaves sons and daughters. So bizman shenechas merubim. So if there is a lot to the estate, now obviously a lot is not a quantifiable number. In a little bit of time later this morning, we're going to talk about actual numbers. Well, not numbers, but we're going to try to quantify what it means a lot. But for our purposes right now, let's just simply say a lot. If, let's say, the estate was a lot, so habanim yeshuv habanos yizonu. So what's going to happen is, as we already learned back in the 8th parak, and we're repeating now again, so the sons are going to inherit the property. Now, as far as the daughters are concerned, they're going to be supported. They will be supported by the estate. This is part of tanai ksuva. When a man gets married, so he makes contractual obligations. Contractual obligations to his wife, and contractual obligations to his future daughters. Okay, even though they're not here yet, but part of the Tanai Ksuva is you make contractual obligations. And the contractual obligations to his daughters are that I'm going to support them. And I will continue to support them until they are mature. Until they're 12 and a half years of age. Okay, the widow, in other words, the obligation to support the widow is until she gets married. But in terms of the daughters, until they grow up. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So that's the... either or, by the way, Phil, if you take a look at the Rashbam, Habanus Yizonu, Mizonu Suparnasas Nesuin, Ad Titibagrin O Ad Titinasvin, Leguvrin. Either or. In other words, either they grow up, or if they get married earlier, which is possible, so then when they get married, so then the support comes to an end. Okay. So, and fine. And meaning, and that's the basic halacha. It's what we're familiar with. It's what we've seen. Now the Mishnah introduces us to another halacha, which is the following. Nichasim watim. But let's say if what was left in the estate was not a lot of money, a little bit of money, and it's not enough. And again, we'll talk about we'll wrap our heads around some idea of numbers later on. But let's say it's nichasim watim. It's right for our purposes right now. We're just simply going to say it's below the threshold. It's below the line. So now nichasim watim abanus yizonu v'habanim yishalu ala psachim. So now what's going to happen is as follows. Well, there's not enough for everybody, and we're now talking about somebody's going to go knocking door to door. And so what the Chacham instituted is, you know what? It's not going to be the girls. It's not appropriate for girls to go out knocking door to door. It puts them in a very compromised position. The Chachamim said, we're going to be protective of the girls. Therefore, they're going to inherit the estate. Now, the word inherit may not be the best word, okay, because it's not an inheritance. It's a takana. They're going to get the estate. They're going to be supported by the estate. And what the sons are now expected to do is, Yishalah Psachim, it's the son's responsibility now to go knocking door to door to collect in order to receive some sort of handout. Admon Omer. So on this Admon's the Tana. We've seen Admon already in other Mishnayos. Admon Omer Bishul Shani Zachar Hivsarati. So Admon says, I don't understand. In other words, so right now, so let me get this straight. So I'm a Zachar, I'm a male. And the Torah entitles me to Yarshin the estate. And now you're telling me that because I'm a male, so I'm going to lose out? Meaning it's the Torah's it's the Torah's legislation which entitles the boy or the male to inherit. And now I'm a boy and I stand to inherit. And now you're telling me, oh, you know what? You're a boy, so therefore you're not going to inherit. I don't understand. That doesn't make sense. Now Amar and Gamliel, Roa Ani Es Divrei Admon, and Rabbi Gamliel says, I think Admon's right. Now, the interesting part and the strange part is that Admon is not actually saying an opinion. Admon is just kind of wondering. It's like he's asking what would seemingly be a rhetorical question. And what we also don't get from Admon is, well, what would he prefer? Meaning, what would he do in such a situation? Would he give everything to the boys and ask the girls to go knocking door to door? That's hard to imagine. Huh? Oh. In other words, would he expect maybe an equitable distribution between the boys and the girls? Perhaps. Maybe. let's just simply say we don't know. Meaning he doesn't state. All he knows is that he hears a Mishnah and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like this idea that the boys are going to get nothing and the girls are going to get everything in the case of Nechasim Uvatim, where it's a limited amount of the estate. Just as an interesting opinion, over here, Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in the second Tosfos. It's the bottom Tosfos on this Amud. So Rabbeinu Tam is quoted as saying that, truth be told, I'll read inside, Rabbeinu Tam Omer, it's the last two lines of the Tosfos, last two lines of the Amud. Rabbeinu Tam Omer, the Admar lo Palagad Rabbanan. Truth of the matter is, says Rabbeinu Tam, it's his opinion, not everyone agrees to it. Truth of the matter is that Admon is not even arguing with the Tanakama. Ella Shematmiya Ala Takana. All Admon is doing is just basically saying, I have a hard time understanding it. Not that I disagree with it, not that I'm introducing an alternative viewpoint, I just have a very hard time understanding it. Shetiknu chazim wa'atim, ava mikom akom kirabban and svirulei. But the truth of the matter, says Rabbeinu Tam, is that Admon actually agrees with the Chachamim. Tosfos doesn't like Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. If Admon is just expressing a question, a concern, so then what's Rabbi Gamliel saying? You know, I side with Admon. You're siding with a concern? In other words, it sounds like Admon is actually expressing an alternative viewpoint, not just simply a question or a concern. Okay, anyway. Where do we stand right now in our Mishnah? So what we learned is the basic halacha of what we're going to call from this point going forward, Nechasim Uvatim, that if the estate is so scarce that it's not enough to support everybody, so then what's going to happen is that the Chachamim, in the interest of protecting the girls, is going to take the estate, hand it over to the girls, and basically tell the boys, look, it's unfortunate, but it's not enough. And we're going to prioritize our regard for the girls, and we don't want the girls to go out and knock door to door, and it just simply puts them in a very compromised position. So we are going to institute, legislate that the girls are going to get the estate, and you, the boys, are going to have to go knocking door to door. The Gemara starts off the discussion, Kama Merubim. Okay, so we now have a basic understanding of the halacha, but we don't have any kind of quantity. We don't know how to quantify as of yet. So the Gemara's question is a very simple one. How much are we talking about over here in terms of Nechasim Uvatim, Nechasim Merubim? Now, obviously, we can't give just a number. In other words, because obviously it's dependent. It's dependent on how many dependents there are, how many years are left for them before they grow up, get older, etc., etc. Okay, right. So, but the Gemara is going to give us some sort of formula. So the Gemara says that in order for the Nechasim to be considered Nechasim Uvatim, there has to be just under enough money to buy food for everybody for a full year. For 12 months. Okay, so a year of support. If the estate cannot handle a year of support for everybody, so that is considered Nechasim Uvatim. If the estate can handle a year of support for everybody, so that's considered Nechasim Merubim. So now I repeat this in front of Shmuel. Now this, remember, this is Rav Yehuda. And we say this time and again. Rav Yehuda started off by learning under Rav. Then Rav died. And then Rav Yehuda turns to Shmuel, and he turns to Shmuel as his Rebbe. So very often is the time where we're going to see Rav Yehuda quoting a statement of Rav in front of Shmuel, and then sometimes Shmuel's going to hear it, and Shmuel's going to say no. So the and this is a good example. So I'm Risa Kama
Dishmuel. 1 year, because the daughter is supposed to be supported until they're old enough.
Like, I'm right, assuming the estate can handle it.
No, but the thing is that the obligation of the state.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Good. Okay, good. So stay tuned. Shmuel's going to speak to you. So the I said in front of Shmuel, I'm Rezu de Rav Gamliel bar Rebbe. That opinion that you just espoused, that's the opinion of Rav Gamliel bar Rebbe. Ava Chachamim Amrim Kedeshi Zerah Mehem Eilav Eilah Shibagru. But according to the Chachamim, they say that, you know what the threshold is in terms of Nechasim Uvatim? If the children cannot be supported until everybody grows up and everyone matures, so that is considered Nechasim Uvatim. And therefore, the girls are going to get it, and the boys are not going to, and the boys are going to have to go knocking door to door. Okay, so, and it, just like Ben said, this position makes a lot more sense, meaning that basically in order for the estate to be considered a significant estate, it has to be at least enough in order to support all the children until the children grow up. Okay, Itmar Nami, the Gemara now is going to reinforce this with a statement, Kiyas Rav, Namar of Yochanan, Amri Lam, Rav, Barbachan, Namar of Yochanan. Just a question of who said it in the name of Rav Yochanan, but Rav Yochanan is credited with saying the following, Kol Shizon Mehem, Eilu Ve'eilu, Ad Shibagru, Hein Merubim, Pachus Mikan, Hare Eilu Mu'atim. So the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yochanan, exactly this position that was stated by Shmuel, now corroborated by Rabbi Yochanan, and that is that the threshold of Nechas Merubim is that it has to be a big enough estate where it's able to support all the children until the children grow up. And the last one grows up. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's get this straight. The Gemara says, let's imagine now that we just appraise the estate, and the estate doesn't hit the mark. So we are just a shade under, not enough estate to support all the children until they grow up. Okay, so, and let's assume that there are boys and there are girls in this family. So now what are we saying? Girls are going to get everything, and boys are going to go knocking door to door. Now, remember, we just, in other words, in this particular scenario, we are just a shade under the threshold. Now, if the girls get everything, so what are the girls getting? Truth of the matter is that the girls are actually getting a lot, because there wasn't enough in the estate to support all the children until they grow up. But if we're just under the threshold, and then we're going to take all that money and we're going to divert it to the girls, truth of the matter is that now the girls are going to get a lot. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. So, Shakle, Lahu, Banos, Lekula, you mean to tell me the girls are going to get everything? So, Alam Arava, Mosiyan, Lahem, Azonos, Lebanos, Ashi, Bagru, Vashal, Lebanim. So the Gemara says, even within this institution of Nechas Mu'atim, where even though we're going to be taking the estate and diverting it to the girls, we're not going to necessarily take all the estate and divert it to the girls. In other words, we're going to simply take enough in order so that they get support until they mature. So if there is anything left over, so the Gemara says, well, that's gonna the leftovers are gonna go to the boys.
And what happens to the boys in between? Until the girls mature. If they don't get anything.
Right, exactly. Meaning no, not going to wait. They're going to go knocking door to door. Meaning, that's it. No. The whole point of this institution, the Chasam Oatim, is so that the girls don't have to go knocking door to door. The boys are going to have to.
Incentivizing the sons to do immune with their sisters, marry them off at a young age just to get a young.
Okay, it could be right. He said that it's going to incentivize the family to marry off the girls so that they are not going to have to get supported. But okay.
So when you say that boys are going to go knocking, at what age?
Right. We're assuming that the boys are, you know, are no. In other words, even. Yeah. Okay. So the scenario is obviously unfortunate, but in other words, yes. In other words, triage has to be done, and there has to be some sort of priority, and that's what basically what the Chachamim said. We'd rather have the boys than the girls going out. Pshita Merubim Nismatuk for Zachabem Yorshim. Okay, so now the Gemara, as it classically does, is going to talk about a fluctuation of price in the estate. Meaning, look, the estate fluctuates in price, it goes up, it goes down, especially if it's real estate. So, the Gemara now is going to have its classic discussions. The Gemara says, let's do the following. Let's say at the time of death, the estate was appraised and we are over the threshold. We're at the point where there's enough of the estate in order to support all the children until they all grow up. So, in other words, Nechas Merubim. And so, but then, at a later point in time, a year later, 2 years later, whatever the case is. So then the actual estate depreciates in value. Where now it's nechas, now it qualifies as nechas mu'atim. So what do we say now? Do we retroactively say now, look, I know at the time of death the estate was, in a good spot, but now, look, everything went down. And the estate went down as well. And so now, but it doesn't qualify. So are we going to now take away the estate from the boys and now divert it to the girls? So the Gemara says, no, that for sure we're not going to do. The Gemara opens up with a pshita, meaning it's obvious. It's obvious that basically if at the time of death it appreciated at, it appraised at Nechas Merubim, so it locks as Nechas Merubim. And the boys are going to get the estate. Obviously with the requirement, just to state the obvious, obviously with the requirement of having to support the girls. But the Gemara says that's a no-brainer. Kvar zachum em yorshim. Mu'atim nisrabu mai. But the Gemara says, but let's go in the other direction. Let's say at the time of death, it appraised at under the threshold, meaning nechas mu'atim, and then it appreciated. So now what do we say? So the Gemara says, b'rishus yorshim kaima, heokach b'rishus yorshim shavuach. So do we say that, look, this entire estate is really owned by the children. And so therefore, even though the boys were not the recipients because of this institution of Nechas Mu'atim, but still, ultimately, it's theirs. It's just a rabbinic institution that prevents them from getting the money, but really it's theirs. So do we say that once it appreciates, so now they can actually take the estate? Or maybe no. Maybe once the rabbis enact this enactment of Nechas Mu'atim and the money is then given to the girls, that's it. And even though at a later point in time the property appreciated where it hit over the threshold of Nechas Merubim, it's just simply too late. What was done was done. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's consider. Come in here. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yisam Shekidmu Machum Nechas Mu'atim, So the Gemara says, but I'll quote another statement made by Rav Yochanan, and that's the following. Let's say there was an estate left for the children, and let's say the estate that was left over was Nechas Mu'atim. It was below the threshold. And now, the son should not have done anything with the property, meaning the entire estate should have gone over to the girls, based on the institution of Nechas Mu'atim. But what did the boys do? They sold it. Even though they should not have done that, it sold. Meaning that, despite the fact that there was an institution and the takanas chachamim is such that the girls should be getting the estate, on the other hand, if the boys make executive decisions with the estate and sell it, the sale is going to be a valid sale. What do we see from this? That there is an institution, and obviously the institution should be honored, which is that the girls should be getting the money. But if the boys sell it, the sale is a sale, which means that still, fundamentally, it's considered a Yerusha. Which then goes, we go back to the previous question, and now we know the answer to the previous question. What if it started off Nechas Mu'atim, and then it appreciated and becomes Nechas Merubim? So then it's going to go to the boys, because still, the estate is viewed as, fundamentally, the estate of the Yorshim.
What well, do we say, like we said yesterday, the boys were Yorshim, and they had a lien, so the girls on that. So what can they take away?
Remember, this is Mizonos. It's Mizonos. Mizonos. So it's not a lien. There's no lien on Mizonos. Parnassa, we said yesterday's daf. Parnassa, there's a lien, but for Mizonos, there's no lien. Okay. Yosef Rav Yirmi coming to Rabbi Abba of Kaba Amine. Rav Yirmi is going to ask a series of questions. This is what Rav Yirmi does throughout the Gemara. So he is a very inquisitive, and this is a good example. And he's going to basically be asking the following. Now, before we go through his questions, it's very easy to consider the following. Look, we have now an estate, and we know the halacha is very straightforward. If we're over the threshold, if we're nechas merubim, so then the boys are going to inherit and the girls are going to get supported. If we're below the threshold, the nechas mu'atim, the girls are going to get the estate and the boys are going to have to go collecting, knocking door to door. Okay, and now basically we are in very simple accounting, and that is the following. What if we know that we appraise it, we appraise the estate, and we now know its number and how much it is. At the same time, there also are outstanding obligations that the estate's got to pay. So basically, are those outstanding obligations are going to be deducted from the estate, where now it's going to affect whether it's Nechas Merubim or Nechas Mu'atim? Very simple question. And the Gemara now is going to talk about various obligations, outstanding obligations that the estate has. So for example, let's start off nice and easy. Look, there's a widow. Right? And that man dies. Now again, his wife is going to get supported by the estate. She doesn't get the estate, but she's going to get supported by the estate. That's what's called mizonos, meaning that's the support given by the estate towards the widow. So, should we deduct that off the estate? Right. Our first response is sure, of course, meaning that is an obligation. It's an absolute obligation that the estate's got to pay the widow her food.
Yeah, but the estate was created upon the death of the person.
Right.
So at that time, you look at their number.
Okay, but we also know that the widow is going to get supported.
Yeah.
Meaning it's not a mystery. It's not a hidden fee.
But you have to decide when you get the number.
Oh.
It's going to go to the,
okay,
to the girl.
So, mi aminan. So basically, what the Gemara is going to not say it the way you're saying it, but you'll see. So, mi aminan came into Islam as onam emata. So, on one hand, we'll have to say that, look, we know the widow is going to get supported. So, basically, we're going to have to deduct her amount from the estate. And again, we know how many years we're talking about, because remember, we're basically looking at how many years until the last kid develops and matures. So basically, let's say there are 5 years until the last kid is going to become an adult. So that means now that for the next 5 years, there's also going to be a widow, right? And she's also got to eat. So basically, do we also deduct her support from this estate? And again, if the estate, together with the deduction of the widow, is now less than the threshold, that's nechasim u'atim. Odilma, the Gemara says, maybe no. And the reason why maybe no is because, yes, the widow is going to get supported, but that is not a fixed obligation. It's a variable. Why? Because if the widow decides that she wants to remarry, which she has the option in doing so, she has every right to do so, but once she does so then the estate no longer has to support her. The estate only supports her until one of two things happens. Either A, she remarries, or B, they make the ksuva, they pay out the ksuva payment.
The daughter's also married.
The daughters are...
Because the daughter's going to get married.
The daughters also could get married. Fair point. Yeah, very fair point. Okay. All right. Let me think more about that. I mean, you're right. But
say no. Then you said it's either they get married or they reach 12 and a half.
Right.
So they know when they're going to reach 12 and a half. That's a fixed thing.
Right.
That's a fixed.
Right. But it's also right. But if they get married, so then the estate no longer has to support them. Okay. So Hashanami Leifa. So the Gemara says, so since it's a variable and since it's not fixed, so maybe we won't take her support into consideration, and we won't deduct that off the estate. Okay, so that's question number one. Question number two. In Tim Salama Kevadila Mintsava Leifla, Hashanami Leifla. So the Gemara says, now if you work with the assumption that, look, the widow is such a variable because she may get remarried in the near future, and so therefore don't deduct her support from the estate. So the Gemara says, Basishto Mahu Shitama. So the Gemara says, what about a bas ishto, the daughter of another wife? Now, the Gemara Ksuvas describes the detailed scenarios in which a man marries a woman who already has children, and he makes a commitment. And that commitment is that I will support your daughter for 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Generally speaking, it was a 5-year commitment. So, once a man makes that commitment to support a stepdaughter, so then that is a fixed obligation where he has to support her for X number of years. Again, let's just, for our purpose, let's assume 5. That's generally how it was done. So the Gemara says over here, it is a fixed obligation, because even if his stepdaughter is to get married, once he made a commitment that he's going to have to support her for 5 years, he's going to have to support her for 5 years. So the Gemara says, so I can easily envision that this would be a proper deduction from the estate, because you know you have to pay it. On the other hand, there is some level of variability. Again, it's unlikely, but it could be that the daughter dies, and if the daughter dies, so then this obligation goes away. So certainly not as flippant and not as variable as the widow who can remarry, but here also it's not an absolute cost on the part of the estate. The Gemara now considers the third consideration, which is, well, what if there's an account payable? Meaning, there's a creditor. It's an outstanding obligation that the estate owes to somebody. So is that to be deducted from the estate? Now, over here, when it comes to an account payable and somebody's got a note against the estate, so regardless of what happens to the note holder, somebody's going to be holding the note. If the note holder dies, so the child inherits the note. right? His child inherits the note. In other words, that note is always going to be outstanding against the estate. So that should be a deduction, right? So the Gemara says, "Odema kevin demechasu gubayin lamamai." So the Gemara says, "Or on the other hand, look, somebody is holding a note against the estate, but they haven't collected yet. Basically, come and get it, right? I know the estate owes you money, and I know you're holding a note against the estate, but currently, you haven't taken it yet. And I don't know, maybe the Gemara is suggesting right now that we could push him off. It is, admittedly, it is a hard argument to hear, but in other words, but he hasn't collected yet. So therefore, we're not going to deduct it off the estate. Okay, so basically now, here's what we just did. We asked three questions in succession regarding whether or not we can make certain deductions off the estate, knowing that the estate has outstanding obligations. And basically what we looked at is the widow, the stepdaughter, and a note holder, where all three of them could be potential deductions off the estate. And the difference between the three of them is that each one of them is more of an obligation against the estate, which means that there's more cause to deduct it off the estate. Regarding the widow, well, she can get married. Regarding the stepdaughter, well, she could die. It's unlikely, but it could happen. And regarding the note holder, nothing really is going to happen to the note. The note's always going to exist, but they haven't collected as of yet. So we have made at least an attempt to argue that none of these should be deductions from the estate, and change the estate from Nechas Merubim to Nechas Muatim. The Gemara now is going to do the following. We're going to basically ask the same three questions, but we're going to reverse the order. So Balchov Maoshi Yemai B'Nechasim. We're going to start with the Baal Chov, meaning the Baal Chov should be a deduction, right? Because the note is strong, and the note is always going to be held against the estate. But what about a stepdaughter, who again, strong, but at least there's a possibility that she won't be alive, you know, 3 years from now. Again, unlikely, but at least it's possible. And then the Gemara asks the third question about the widow, because again, the widow is even more unlikely because she can remarry. Okay. Now, after asking a series of questions of Rav Yirmiya, the Gemara now turns its attention to the following. You have, let's say, the following. Nechasim Uatim, you have the estate is now under the threshold, where we now know that it's going to be used for support. But over here, however, there is a son, there's a daughter, and there's a widow. And right now, Rachmanos, the estate is really limited resource, and it can only support one of those two women, the daughter or the widow, but not both, not and, just or. So now, given that we have now this kind of triaging that we need to do, so who's going to be receiving the very limited estate, and who's going to have to go collecting and asking door to door? So the Gemara's answer. So Amanaso Avas Ezo Meim Kodemus Amalei Zil Ha'idim V'Sol Amachar. So finally, who is Rav Yirmiya talking to? Forgive me. Rav Yirmiya was Rabbi Abel. So Rabbi Abel finally says to Rabbi Yirmiya, okay, I need time. Give me time to process all this. So he says, you'll leave today, you'll come back tomorrow, and you'll give me some time to think about it, and I'll get back to you. He also, Amalei Pasha Miachada. So after Rabbi Yirmiya asked all these series of questions, so Rabbi Abel says to Rabbi Yirmiya, I know the answer to one of the questions. The Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Asi, also Amano Itzal Abbas Kebasi Itzal Achim, Benachasim Muatim. So he had a tradition that went as follows: the daughter, relative to her, to the widow, right, her mother, is like the daughter relative to the brothers. In other words, if there are just surviving sons and daughters and the resources are limited, so we take the money, we divert it to the daughters, and we have the sons knocking door to door. So too, when it comes to a widow and a daughter, the widow will receive the limited resources for the support, and the daughter is going to be asking and going door to door. It's not, what I'm about to say is just a good way to remember this. It's not, don't take me so literally, but basically, Naomi and Rus, meaning, Rus is not a daughter. She's a daughter-in-law. So I understand it's not a perfect analogy, but it does work out, meaning they come back to Beis Lechem, they don't have any money, so who goes knocking door to door, who goes collecting? Rus, the daughter, in this case daughter-in-law, right? Although Naomi a number of times calls her Biti, so, but...
The widow was the yikar because the ketubah was written for her, and right. The daughter is just because of
right.
The ketubah are getting the second.
Okay. Right, but also right, but consider I you're right, and conclusion is right, but just to provide a counter argument, consider the fact that the daughter is really the one who inherits it.
Yeah, but that is a stipulation that made based on the ketubah. Had there not been a ketubah, the daughters would not be there.
Look, ultimately you're right, meaning that is the Gemara's conclusion, but okay, it's a good way to remember it. Ruth went out collecting, Naomi stayed home, meaning so given it's the terrible choice, but given that's the choice, so the Chachamim were more protective of the widow than that of the daughter. Okay.
It was a different time.
So, Yishal Apsachim Af Amana Yitzal Abbas Amana Nizon Sebasti Yishal Apsachim. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Adman Omer Bishol Shani Zachar Yifsadati. So, Adman's position, which again, I remind you, Rabbi Natam was of the opinion that Adman was not actually expressing another opinion, just was like curious by all this. It sounds strange. But again, the Rashbam didn't agree with the Tosfos didn't agree with the Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, my Kamar. So the Gemara says now, what was his big objection? Why did Admon find this conclusion to be an absurdity? That the girl should get all the money and the boy should go knocking door to door. So Abaye says, I'll tell you, what the big objection is that the boys have an obligation to learn Torah. And so what the objection of the male son is that it's strange, meaning I have the obligation to learn Torah, I'm going to be learning Torah, and now the money that could have been used to support me and allow me to learn Torah. So now I am not going to get the Yerusha, and now the girls are going to get it, and I got to go knocking door to door, and I'm not going to be able to learn Torah. Meaning, and I have an obligation. The girls do not have an obligation to learn Torah. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says to Abaye, look, everything I said is true, but that shouldn't affect Yerusha. Meaning, Ella Miata Mandasik Batorah Hudi Yaris, Delosik Batorah Lo Yaris. So the Gemara says, let me ask you a simple question, Rava says to Abaye. Let's say you have an estate, and let's say there are a number of boys, a number of sons, and you now want to tell me that Yerusha is going to be only those, the sons who qualify for Yerusha are only the ones who are actually learning Torah, and the ones who are not learning Torah are not going to qualify for Yerusha? Meaning, the point is fair, but they are really two totally independent points. Yerusha is not based on any kind of contingency of who learns Torah versus who does not learn Torah. And so therefore, Admon's position of, well, the boys are going to have to forfeit the Torah learning, that's true, but that has nothing to do with Yerusha. So the Gemara says, "Al Amar Rava." So Rava says, "This is the way to understand Admon." Rava says, "It's very simple. Look, had there been more money in the estate, I would have inherited. Now that there's less money in the estate, I don't inherit it." Meaning, kavachomer. It's a simple kavachomer. If there's more money in the estate and I inherit more money, so if there's a little bit of money in the estate, you don't think I should be inheriting the little money? That's the matmiya, that's the wonderment, the puzzlement of Admon. Okay. In terms of who the halacha falls like, so it's interesting. The Rashbam brought back in the Mishnah that the halacha falls like Admon. And the reason why he feels that way is because if you go back to the Mishnah, so let's remind each other in the Mishnah, what did it say? Rabbi Gamliel, Roa Anis Divrei Admon. Rabbi Gamliel says that I agree with Admon. And by the way, that was one of Tosfos' proofs that Admon was not just simply asking a question, but he was actually stating a position. Again, we already said back in the Mishnah, I don't know what his position is, right? In other words, right, he's just asking a question. He does not. He's not presenting an alternative viewpoint of what to do.
Well, there are a lot of things that the daughter has to be, so I don't know what he's asking. I mean, that's a fact. There's more tips, so the daughter gets and he doesn't. So what
do you? Right, but
maybe he's saying it's, it doesn't make sense logically. But
well, that's the way Rabbi Natama. That's the way Rabbi Natama understands right. it. Right, but the Bali Atosos and the Rashbam don't agree with that. They
how
think.
Can he, how can he disagree with
With an institution, right? In other words, right. So it could very well be. It could be that what Admon is presenting is maybe just simply a modification, meaning he's not looking to undo the institution altogether, but just the idea that the girls are going to get everything and the boys are going to get nothing. Maybe what he was doing was just simply adjusting it so that maybe it's equitable. Perhaps maybe the boys should be getting some of the Yerusha. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Let's move on. We are on the next Mishnah. We're on Kuf Mem Amud Beis, second Mishnah already of the ninth Perek. Hinich banim abanus v'tumtum. So now we are going to be discussing. It's a classic discussion in the Gemara. We're having it now here in the discussion of Yerusha, and that is the following: father dies and leaves sons, daughters, and tumtum. We know that in the Gemara there are two types of people who have gender confusion. One is an androgynous and the other is a tumtum. Androgynous is where the child, or the adult for that matter, has both male and female genitalia. So the confusion is based on the fact that he's actually demonstrating, he's displaying both gender, male and female. Okay. And then there's a tumtum, which is what we're discussing right now. And the tumtum is basically where the gender is covered by a membrane. So we do not know whether or not the child is male or female. So there are at least two options in terms of what this could be. And as we'll see in just a moment, there really could be a third option as well. One option is that the child could be male. Another option is the child could be female. A third option is birya bifne atzma, meaning that even though the Gemara talks a number of times about the membrane peeling back or ripping open, and there can be an exposure, and that exposure will identify whether it's a male or female, but there's another option, which is that a tumtum, at least in the state where he's in right now, so birya bifne atzma. In other words, a new box, a new category, and that is tumtum, neither male or female.
But then be also
huh? Or in other words, right. And androgynous also could, you know,
it could be both. Three, four.
Right. Another option.
Right.
Okay, good. Fine. I accept that. So hinich banim abanus v'tumtum. So now, in this family, so son, a daughter, and a tumtum. Now, again, we are not having a discussion about being compassionate, meaning, as Jews, we need to be compassionate people. This is strictly, I'm framing our entire discussion. This is strictly a monetary discussion over here. Okay, and this is not a lack of compassion. This is just simply how to deal with money when there's a suffix. It's a classic discussion. We have it all the time throughout the Gemara. Hinich banim avanus v'tumtum. So, when leaving these three types of children, so bizman shenachas merubim. So let's say now that's a large estate. So what happens in a large estate? We know what happens. The boys inherit, the girls are going to get supported. So the Mishnah tells us, bizman shenachas merubim, mazachayim dochen osoetz on the kevos. So now, as far as the boys are going to turn, they're going to turn to the tumtum and say, look, you know what you are, or at least you know what you're not. You're not one of us. You're not a boy. Now, again, they don't know that to be so, but certainly, he is not positively identifying as a male. So they say to him, "Look, from a mamana standpoint, you're not going to be inheriting together with us. We're a vada. You're a suffolk. Therefore, you're going to be sided with the girls, and you're going to get supported." Now, nechasim mu'atim and nekevas dochen osonetz lezacharim. And if it is nechasim mu'atim, now if we are under the threshold and the estate is extraordinarily limited, and that means that the girls are going to get, so now the girls are going to turn to the tumtum and say, look, you're not one of us. In other words, so we're going to get the nechasim mu'atim, but you're going to be with the boys, basically knocking door to door. Okay. Now, ha'omer, and we just did the Mishnah, we're going to come back to this halach in the Mishnah in just a little bit. You'll see why as we go through the first discussion of the Gemara. But first, let's finish the Mishnah. Ha'omer. Let's say the man before having the baby makes financial pledges towards his unborn baby. I know. I'm sorry. I quoted the wrong piece. Right. How can you make a kinyan? The person's not alive yet. I do understand that. But Ha'omer, im teilad ishti zachar yitomani yitomani. Look, if my wife gives birth to a if my wife gives birth to a male, so I'm going to commit a money, right? A certain amount of money towards this child. Okay, the Rashman points out over here, it could be that he's dying. In other words, and mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, and in other words, it's his last will, and there's a mitzvah to do so. Could be, says the Rashbam, that he's a healthy person, the father, and I'm reading the Rashbam, Zika lo al yedei acher. Okay, the Gemara later on is going to present the issue of the baby's not born yet. How can he make such a commitment? Okay, we're going to ask that question later on. For our purposes right now, our focus is going to be on the following. He's making a commitment. If it's a boy, I'm going to give it a mana. So yalda zachar yitol mana. So if it's a boy that comes out, so he's got to fulfill his obligation. Nikeva masayim yalda nikeva natos masayim. He says, if it's a girl, I'm going to give her 200. Okay, so if what comes out is a girl, so he's going to pay her 200. Im zachar mana im nikeva masayim. Vialda zachar nikeva. Zachar no tamana nikeva natos masayim. Okay, the Rashbam goes at length over here talking about where it's not necessarily twins. Okay, but either way. In other words, he says, if what the outcome is a boy, 100. If it's a girl, 200. So, okay, for a boy, 100. For a girl, 200. Yalda tumtum, eno no tell. Now, the Mishnah then goes on to say, well, now what if what comes out is a tumtum? Okay, was it a boy or was it a girl? Well, it's a tumtum. Again, we don't know. So, eno no tell. So, the tumtum doesn't take. Now, yeah, Alex, yeah?
Should we need to get the minimum?
Okay, so, in other words, we don't know, but, in other words,
at least like a girl.
Right, in other words, some gender, right, should be getting the minimum. In this case, that's 100, which he pledged for the boy. Imam are called Masha Telish to Yitol, I was a Yitol. Now, if what he says is, whatever my wife has as a child is going to take, so harizei ito, so then the tumtum would be able to take. V'imein sham, yorish elahu, yorish asakol. Now the Gemara says, now if the tumtum is the only child, and then dad dies, so the tumtum is going to get. Why? Because he's a child. In other words, is he a boy, is he a girl? We don't know, but he's a child. It's an interesting Rashbam, I'll share with you.
What's the finish of that?
Is an interesting Rashbam. So the last Rashbam on the Mishnah, I'm reading inside, Yorish HaTzakol, V'afagav de Ber Yehu. Now, in terms of the Tumtum, what is a Tumtum? Let's assume right now that Ber Yehu Bifnei Atzma. It's right, it's what's called option C. Not boy, not girl, but something independent. So in other words, that means now if there are sons in addition to the tumtum, so the sons say to him, look, you're not a male. And if there are daughters in addition to the tumtum, the daughters turn to him and say, you're not a female. And in fact, as we go through the Gemara, we'll start it tomorrow, we're going to see Abai basically says that, yeah, they're actually going to both push him off. Mishum de ber Yehu. Lo napik mechlal ben ein lo ayin alav. So look, if it's just the tumtum, so what do we learn in the eighth parak? The Rashbam here is quoting from the eighth parak. The Torah says v'im ein ben hu. I'm sorry, v'im ein lo, and the ein we darshan as ayin alav, meaning we're looking for any progeny to come out. The tumtum certainly falls under the category of any progeny. So im ein lo bas ayin aleha inami mishum de karina be hakarov elav mimishpachto v'yireshosa. Or the Rashbam points out, or you know what, we can make the following argument: maybe it's not a son, maybe it's not a daughter, maybe it's a totally independent entity. It's a new entity, but at the same time, also next in the line of succession, meaning even if it's not ben, even if it's not bas, even if it's neither. Even if it's an independent entity. But we learned back in the eighth parak, HaKarov Elav means that you looked in the next line of succession. And what the Rashbam is basically doing over here is introducing a new person in the line of succession. Meaning the Torah says, first see if there's a boy. Then see if there's a girl. And then, well, we thought at that point in time, the next one in the line of succession is a parent, is a father. Now what we're saying is, no, there's actually, there's actually something even in between in the line of succession, and that would be the case of the tumtum. Okay. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to go back to the first halacha where there was a bun and bunus and tumtum. Okay, we'll talk it out tomorrow. Let's just quickly recap. Started the ninth parak of the Masechta today. We talked about the general institution of what's called the Nechasim Mu'atim, that if the estate is a limited estate and is not enough to support the children until they grow up, so then the estate is going to be diverted over to the girls, so they don't have to go knocking door to door. A special institution made by the Chachamim so as to protect the girls and the dignity of the girls, and the boys are going to have to go knocking door to door. We spent some time today talking about, in terms of assessing the value of the estate, what if it appreciates? What if it depreciates? What about known expenses that are coming off the estate? Are they going to be taken into consideration when doing an appraisal of the value of the estate? What about the support for the widow? What about the support for stepdaughters? What about accounts payable? So are they going to be deductions off the estate? Those are Rav Yirmiyah's questions. The Gemara left most of his questions unanswered. And the Gemara address the question of what if there's a nechas mu'atim and there's a daughter and a widow. So of the two, who's going to have to go knocking door to door? The Gemara's response is the daughter. That Rabbi Abahu says that he knows for sure. The Admon is bothered by this whole institution. What is he doing? Is he expressing an opinion? Is he just simply wondering about this? The Rishonim debate that very issue. And then finally, we ended off today with the next Mishnah, which is a discussion of a boy, a girl, and a tumtum as part of the family. What the tumtum can claim in terms of part of the Yerusha. So the Mishnah says that he's in a bad position monetarily because he's not a male, he's not a female. He may be considered its own separate category. And we'll come back to discuss that very point beginning of tomorrow's year.